You are listening to the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. Enjoy today's edition of Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.
Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome, Auburn, into the Tuesday edition of Sports Call, coming to you live on Tiger 95.9 and SportsCallAuburn.com. I'm Ryan Lavoy. Alongside of me today is Trevon Reed and Javon Cutler, filling in for J.J. Jackson today. He will be calling Auburn softball this evening at Jane B. Moore Field, which is why we will be having a short show today. We'll be getting off air at 4:15 as Auburn softball will play a game at 5 o'clock this evening, airtime 4:45 here on Tiger 95.9, and so we'll have to get off early for that. Also, Auburn baseball today as well. That will be on our sister station, WQSI FM Talk 93.9, same time, 4:45 airtime, 5 o'clock first pitch for the Tigers. So, shortened show today, so we normally would talk to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer at 4:30, but we will be off the air by then. So it will just be Ryan, Trevon, and Javon with you today. We'll also take your phone calls, as always, at 887-341 locally and toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We'll have a nightly TV guide and the birthdays and sports as well today. So a lot to get to, a lot to talk about in a short amount of time. As, of course, the big news yesterday was Walker Kessler, a former five-star center and a freshman this past year at North Carolina, made his transfer portal decision. Some thought he'd be going back to North Carolina, but he decided to go to Auburn. And so Walker Kessler getting closer to home, a school that was in the final three for his services last year, now wins his services in 2021. So Walker Kessler on the plains. We'll take a look about what the Auburn depth chart will look like and some other things as well. We'll also talk about spring football here at Auburn as the 8A game just 4 days away now. So moving in on that. Ryan, Javon, and Trevon with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Guys, how are we doing?
Doing good, Ryan. Doing good. And like you mentioned, some great news coming out of Auburn basketball. Able to land Walker Kessler, a guy who they previously had tried to get to come to Auburn before his freshman year, but ultimately chose North Carolina. So great that Auburn was able to get him, and a huge guy, 7'1" center, five-star recruit, former McDonald's All-American. So it'll be nice for Auburn to have now two McDonald's All-Americans on their roster, the other one being Jabari Smith. So it's going to be a really nice, I feel like, tandem for Auburn to have that in their front court. Yeah, but it's going to be a great addition, I think, for Auburn because they've been really busy in the transfer portal market. I mean, you've got your Zepp Jasper, you got Wendell Green, so they've had a nice little run there, but then you basically have the cream of the crop as far as a Walker Kessler, a guy who, like I said, Auburn had been trying to recruit before, so hopefully that'll help out and just shows you that Auburn's being taken seriously by some of these recruits because a long time ago, Auburn wouldn't have ever probably been a decision for some of these former five-star recruits or guys who are coming into the high school as five stars about to enter their freshman year of college. So great decision by Kessler, and we'll see what he could do. But in other Auburn news, we got some more 8A information as well about the upcoming game this Saturday where they said 40% capacity in the sections, so have a little bigger crowd than you would as compared to last season when you had around 20% for those games at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So nice to have a little bit bigger crowd there on A-Day and see how this Auburn football team performs under Brian Harsin. So that should be something to look out forward to. And tickets are $10 each. So you can still purchase those online according to the Auburn website. So still in the market for some tickets. Check out the Auburn website. So plenty to look forward to in Auburn in terms of athletics and just in the sports world in general. I mean, hate to bring it up, but a tough loss by the Braves last night. I mean, they struggled against the Marlins. I should say more specifically, the bullpen struggled against the Marlins. They just couldn't seem to throw a strike, and it just caused kind of a snowball effect of chaos in the next couple of innings, and ultimately they lost 5-3 in the 10 innings, so not the best of starts by the Braves. So far, with a 4-6 record, things still are more than likely to turn around for this ball club. Is we only basically, they said the equivalent of one game out of 16 for the NFL. That's kind of the equivalency chart for the MLB, so still got plenty of time, no need to worry, but chugging along, still got NBA basketball, still got MLS starting up soon in a couple of weeks as far as MLS on MLS action, so that should be fun to watch forward, and overall, doing great and looking forward to talk sports for the next shortened hour or so.
Yeah, and I wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit more on A-Day. As you talked about, Javon, capacity will be reduced to approximately 40% in available seating sections due to maintenance projects, sections 14 through 21 in the south end zone and sections 99 through 114 in the east upper deck will be unavailable for A-Day. So a few sections there that they're working on doing maintenance on that will not be available. Tickets are for $10 and are available to purchase online. And so 1 p.m. on Saturday inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium is when this one will take place. Also on the show today, Trevon Reed. He knows a thing or two about spring game, A-Day game.
I might.
Trevon, first, I'm glad to have you back, man. I'm glad that you're feeling better after the wisdom teeth getting taken out, an experience most of us feel and understand. And glad you're back. And, yeah, man, spring practice almost to a close here as we get ready for A-Day.
Oh, man. It brings back so many memories because, I mean, the real scrimmage was on the week before, you know, and that's the one where a guy who's normally your buddy, not your buddy no more, because you need that momentum going into the season. That's coaches basically pick their starters in that scrimmage, you know, and we know that as players. But to the outside world, to the fans, you would think if you go crazy on A-Day, that might be it, but it's not really it. It's that scrimmage before. But it's always good to go out with a bang on A-Day because now you have people calling for a coach to put you in the game. You know, like it's a momentum thing for yourself, for your own mental. You know, that's the last game you're going to play before you play another team. You know what I'm saying? So you want to go out there and show everything you got. And if you're a guy, a walk-on, a guy who haven't been starting on camp, you want to go out there and make a name for yourself. You want to make a splash play where the fans remember you. And if someone's slacking at your position, the first thing the fans do is call for you. It's one of those deals, man. It's an exciting thing. Running out that tunnel on A-Day is just like running out that tunnel for a regular game because the crowd be there. You about to play football. You about to play tackle football. It's just against your brothers. And for that day and that week before, that's not your brothers. You know, you're going to take care of them, but you out there to get a spot. I miss it, man. I miss it. I can't wait to see these guys compete.
And so you mentioned that really it's the scrimmage before that coaches tend to start picking starters and that sort of thing. However, this time, that scrimmage from that was going to be this past Saturday, which was going to be open to students and faculty, that was canceled because of weather. Mm-hmm. So this one might play in a little bit more to the decision-making process, I would think, if you don't get to have that typical scrimmage before A-Day.
It definitely could because it's a new coach. At the end of the day, he don't know who the starters are. Like he know his main guys, the Smoke Mondays, you know, guys of that nature. But everyone else is really up. Like, I mean, the linebackers, of course, set in stone. But everyone else, like Con, is in the air. So this scrimmage may be. You know what I'm saying? May be the one that gets you the spot if you make some splash plays. But when I played, I just know how it went. We had coaches here who was here for a while. You know what I'm saying? I went through it with Gene. I went through it with Coach Gus. You know, so it was kind of like you kind of knew what was coming. So I'm only speaking from experience. Coach Harson might be
different. Yeah,
it might be different. He might say, hey, whoever balled on spring game, that's it. And what that's going to do is really going to make the game competitive. Like, imagine me telling you, hey, if you go out here and ball, you could possibly start first game. What? What? I'm about to go crazy. Like, I mean, hey, we never know. So if we see the if you come out there Saturday and you see these guys playing like hard, you know why.
Well, and I think that what's important to remember about 8A game this time around is something that I've usually been somewhat critical of in the past, because I'll be honest, I did not know that the starters were typically already under wraps and being picked before 8A. But it always, you know, it has the mentality of, well, it's just a really special practice. You know, it's a special scrimmage. And, you know, I can be devil's advocate to just about anything good that happens. If a wide receiver has a big game, well, that DB didn't have a great game. If the defense holds the offense to 7 points, then we're concerned about the offense. You know, and you can really get in your own head with all that. But especially if the starters are not typically on the line. However, you add to the fact of what you just said, where it's at least more possible this time that starting lineups are on the line, that sort of thing. But we haven't seen Brian Harsin in any kind of competitive environment at Auburn, right? So, I mean, we're going to see some of his playbook for the first time. We're going to see some of what Derek Mason has in mind for defensive schemes. And obviously, we're not going to get the whole shebang. They're not going to run trick plays and a bunch of stuff that they think they're going to need in the fall. But you're going to see stuff under center that you've not seen with Gus Malzahn. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a whole different mentality there. So I am generally not too psyched up for A-Day. However, this year I am about as hyped up as I've ever been, because there's a lot more unknown. There could be more roster and player movement based off of this because of the nature of having a new coach and a practice that was canceled last week. And so I don't know. I myself am more hyped up than I usually am.
You got a right to be. I am too. I'm curious. I want to see, because I went in one meeting. I'm gonna start going to meetings this fall. Also, I'll be welcome back in the building because the COVID stuff should be over. But just going and sitting in the meetings, it's different. The energy different. And it's no disrespect to the last staff, but you got to understand, like, these guys are, they're fresh. The old staff, they was here for a minute. They kind of knew, the guys knew where they was going. Like, they knew where the next meeting was, the next drill. So you could kind of trot there. Here, you don't really know, so you're running with your hair on fire. You know what I'm saying? So it's a difference. The urgency is real different now that Harsin took over. And I love, if he could keep them like that, sky's the limit for us.
Well, and I think going off of your point about a new energy and excitement and, you know, a new voice, that's something we talk a lot about in the professional ranks, because these coaches that are here 8, 10, 12 years at places, – they coach the same guys, and the voice kind of gets old. You hear the same thing for several years. Hello. It just kind of gets old. And so in professional realms, like, Andy Reid ended up getting fired in Philadelphia, not because Andy Reid all of a sudden couldn't coach, but he stopped being able to deliver the same impact to his players and to the organization. So he gets a fresh start, and then look what he's done in Kansas City. And so to a lesser extent, but still, in college, the whole program has a certain feel. Like, you know, when you play for a coach, you have an expectation based off the past of how it's going to look and feel. Even if you have been in high school the whole time and you're just joining in year 5 or year 6 of this particular head coach, you understand, okay, I've heard a lot about Gus Malzahn. I understand what kind of coach he is. I've been recruited by these guys for a few years. I understand the culture because other guys have talked to me about it. And so I have an expectation. And so that can be good when it's a great culture, when it's a great environment, but when it's up in the air, when it's just okay, it can be bad, because you hear, oh, you know, he talks about this all the time, but he's tripping, you know, he's not in his right mind. And so you start to hear that yourself when you get on campus. You're like, man, what's this guy talking about? And I'm not talking particularly about Gus. I'm talking about anybody that's been in a school a few years and is not really certain of their job status going forward. It can be a cultural thing where those problems get a little bit worse and a little bit worse over time because the voice never changes, that sort of thing. And so to have a new voice in Brian Harsin, well, yeah, there's not anything necessarily overwhelmingly positive, because we don't know anything positive that's gone on yet. But there's also nothing negative. It's a clean slate. There's no preconceived notion of, yeah, this guy's wrong in this area, or I get what he's saying, but I don't agree with it. I don't really like the way he does this. No one knows how he does everything. And so everyone's getting this clean slate. Everyone is getting an opportunity to earn their playing time and hear a new voice, new voices on the whole coaching staff for the first time, except for obviously Cadillac Williams, who I think we all want to hear his voice in the running back room for a long time to come. So it is exciting for the players. It's exciting for the fans. I don't know. I'm looking forward to A-Day, and we'll talk a little bit more about it as the show goes on, although it is a short show today. But A-Day coming up in just 4 days, 1 o'clock inside of Jordan Hare Stadium, $10 for the general public, 40% capacity. Those are the things you need to know. When we come back, the birthdays in sports and retired Wardam Steve on our Auburn Bank phone line. This is Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com.
Sports Call is on the air weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m.
If you are currently driving in a four-door sedan, roll up the windows and turn up the radio.
We're Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show.
I'm Deshaun Davis, former Auburn Tigers football player and All-SEC linebacker. You're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
On the highway through hour number one of Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com. Ryan Lavoie, Javon Cutler, and Trevon Reed with you today. Like we said, shortened Sports Call because at 4:45 airtime here on Tiger 95.9 for Auburn softball, they take on Alabama State at James B. Moore Field, 5 o'clock pitch for that. And then over on our sister station, FM Talk 93.9, Auburn baseball goes to Atlanta to play the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. So got the batted ball sports here on the Tiger Communications family and networks. So we're getting off the air at 4:15 today. So without further ado, let's get to one of our favorite segments. It's the birthdays in sports.
It's time for today's birthdays in sports.
April the 13th. Javon, what we got?
Got some pretty good birthdays here spread out across some of the major sports in our country. Starting off the list is Hunter Pence, who is turning 38 today, a former MLB outfielder who played from 2007 until 2020 with the Houston Astros, Philadelphia Phillies, Texas Rangers, and San Francisco Giants. He's a four-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion with the Giants, and has a career .279 batting average with 244 home runs, so happy birthday to Hunter Pence, turning 38 today.
Man, that guy hustled. He was an above-average baseball player with elite hustle. It turned him into maybe a better player than he actually was. But he had some good years.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he use no batting gloves, kind of an old-school type of guy?
It wouldn't surprise me. Probably so.
Something like that. But happy birthday to Hunter Pence. And moving along with MLB birthdays, turning 35 today is Lorenzo Cain, outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers. He also played for the Kansas City Royals, two-time All-Star, 2015 World Series champion with the Royals, 2019 Gold Glove Award winner, three-time Fielding Bible Award winner for the best center fielder in the MLB. So happy birthday to Lorenzo Cain, turning 35 today.
Part of the Royals team that wins the World Series. Man, he had not been there that long. I guess he maybe came out of the minor leagues a little older than some, because 35, he does not feel 35.
Not at all. And he was, like you said, an integral part of that World Series team. And it was kind of a weird 2 years for Kansas City, because in 2014, they lost the World Series to the Giants. And then 2015, they beat the Mets. And then after that, they've done nothing. So it was
Went back to being a very bad baseball team.
So weird 2 years there for the Royals. Fans are definitely going to remember that, but Lorenzo Cain turning 35 today, proud member of the Milwaukee Brewers. Now moving toward Trevon Sport, the NFL, turning 28 today is Melvin Gordon, running back for the Denver Broncos. Also played for the San Diego / Los Angeles Chargers. Two-time Pro Bowler. Two-time Big Ten champ at Wisconsin. 2014 Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. And 2014 Unanimous All-American. Was the 15th overall pick of the 2015 NFL Draft.
You like his game, Trevon?
That's my guy. I actually just got off FaceTime with him.
Nice.
Wow. I was telling him happy birthday. That's my dude. He a baller. He a baller, man. I remember when he first got in the league. I don't think he scored a touchdown this rookie year. They was calling him a bust. But he had a lot of yards. He just couldn't score. And then that next year, he went crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I played with him. Great guy. Great teammate. He a baller.
Definitely. 28 years old now, Melvin Gordon moving up there in age. Another guy moving up there in age and turning the big 3-0 today is a guy that is honestly a sad story of what could have been. This is the best way to describe him. Josh Gordon turning 30 today. Played in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns, New England Patriots, and Seattle Seahawks. Won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, 2013 Pro Bowler, 2013 First Team All-Pro, second round pick in the 2012 Supplemental Draft out of Baylor. And he's still playing football, just on a lesser scale. He's currently a wide receiver for the Zappers of fan-controlled football. So happy birthday to Josh Gordon, turning 30 years old.
Super talented guy.
Super talented. Just had some, unfortunately, substance abuse problems that led him to get kicked out of the league and been trying to fight back. But a guy that could definitely ball out when he was at his best. Last but not least, turning 42 today on the hardwood is Baron Davis. Former NBA guard who played from 1999 until 2016 with the Charlotte / New Orleans Hornets, Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Clippers, Cleveland Cavaliers, and New York Knicks. Two-time NBA All-Star, two-time NBA steals leader, 1999 first-team All-Pac-10 while at UCLA, and the third overall pick of the 1999 NBA Draft.
Happy birthday, Baron Davis, part of the We Believe Warriors when they upset the Mavs. Him and Captain Jack, Steven Jackson, fun little Warriors team there that precursored something a lot more dynamic of half a decade later or so. Happy birthday, Baron Davis. Those are the birthdays in sports today, brought to you by the Hive Nutrition Club. Check out their variety of healthy shakes, loaded teas, beauty drinks, and specialty drinks with beverages that are between 200 and 250 calories and filled with 24 to 27 grams of protein. You won't have to sacrifice deliciousness for nutrition. The Hive is open Monday through Saturday and is located at 4184 Lee Road 146 in Auburn beside the Lazy Bee. Follow them on Facebook at Hive Nutrition Club. We're going to go ahead and take our second break of hour number one. On the other side of this, we'll go to the Auburn Bank phone line, and retired Ward MC will join us then. You're listening to Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com.
Of the biggest names in the sports world want to be on Sports Call.
We are very excited to be joined by ESPN's Adam Amin.
Bring on a very special guest, a good friend of the program, a former host of this very show, and the current voice of the Auburn Tigers, the one and only Andy Burcham.
We get the opportunity to welcome in Mr. Phil Steele into our program.
Be sure to listen to our conversations with athletes, coaches, and media personalities on the Sports Call podcast.
We're done paying the bills. Now back to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Sports Call live on Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com, or the Sports Call podcast brought to you by Pepsi. Ryan Lavoie, Javon Cutler, and Trevon Reed with you today. J.J. Jackson will be doing Auburn softball here just about an hour and a half. First pitch at James B. Moore Field. That's why we're getting off the air at 4:15. So let's get to the Auburn Bank phone line for the first time today. And retired Ward AM Steve joins us. Steve, how are you doing, my friend?
Good. Thanks for asking. And Warrior to everybody. Mr. Javon Reed, welcome back.
Yes, sir. What's happening, my guy? I miss you, man.
Well, I've been missing you, and could you share with us, I'm maybe getting too personal, but how many wisdom teeth did you have extracted?
I had to get one, and then I got to go back in 5 weeks and get 3 more teeth pulled.
Oh,
my gosh.
A little warm-up, then.
Yeah, they gave me a little warm-up.
Well, I hope that doesn't affect your being any less wiser, though.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I think I got wiser.
Okay, all right. I'm just messing with you there. All right, folks. War damn Mr. Kessler.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big get. I didn't know how big a get he was until I read this. These are stats. He is the top signee in Auburn history. He's second-rated top,
yes.
Second highest. That's Jabari Smith.
Yep.
So that's pretty high. And then, of course, there's Sharif Cooper. That's quite interesting. And these guys are from Georgia, is that right?
Yes, the Kessler family has a lot of ties to Georgia. And that was one of the reasons that Walker cited him coming to Auburn, is that he wanted to be a little closer to home. And obviously Auburn, as we've talked about in the last few weeks, was one of his finalists the first time around before he chose North Carolina. So Auburn kind of always still sticking in his mind, and for him made a lot of sense to come to the Plains.
Well, I found these stats to me were even more impressive than merely his being an offensive prowess at center. You may already know this, but I was really pleasantly surprised by these pieces of statistics on defense. He is only one of five players in the country last season to post a block percentage better than 10%. In fact, it was 10.7, and a rebounding rate of at least 18%. So were you aware of his defensive, prowess, guys, or not?
Yeah, having watched North Carolina this year, Steve, me being the Tar Heel fan that I am, he did not play a lot. He played 9-10 minutes a game. But it felt like there were a few games there where he got to play a little bit more, where he just absolutely shined. And he certainly, being 7-1, blocked a lot of shots and was active around the glass. North Carolina's historically a great offensive rebounding team, and Walker definitely participated in that. And so, his raw numbers as far as averages and points per game and rebounds and all that are not that high, but when you play 9 minutes a game, and half of those games you're really just playing 5 or 6 minutes, it's really hard to accrue any sort of notable stat total. But in the games that he got to play 15 or 20 minutes, he would put up 12, 14, 16 points and 8 rebounds and a couple blocks, that sort of thing. So he was very productive overall in the time that he got towards the end of the season at North Carolina. And so I think the whole college basketball world still thinks very highly of him, and he still has every bit the potential that he did as a five-star coming out of high school.
Yeah, and I didn't want to inflate those stats for him, but it says here what I'm reading that these stats come from players who played at least 20 games this past season and played more than 250 minutes. So this feels to me quite astounding, stats that he – percentage-wise, he blocked 10% of opponents' attempts, and that beats our two highest efficient blockers on our team. So I thought, this is going to be really important to have this gentleman on board here. Now,
and if I may interject, Steve, he's joining an Auburn team that's already very adept at blocking shots. A lot of the guys on the team were really good shot blockers last year for Auburn.
Do you have any update you can tell us on Mr. JT Thorne, or his leaning either way?
Yeah, no, I have not heard much. I heard some rumors that maybe he's still leaning towards leaving, but also that he got back a bad report that he would not likely get drafted. So those two things really don't add up. It's a lot of hearsay. I will tell you this, with their current depth chart, it's kind of interesting because even if he were to leave at this point with the addition of Walker Kessler, assuming Alan Flanagan does not make a surprise decision, I mean, you're looking at Jabari Smith, the five-star, Walker Kessler, Alan Flanagan, Jalen Williams, Dylan Cardwell, all guys to play those 3 through 5 positions. I'm not saying you don't want JT Thor back, but I don't think that Auburn will be shorthanded
at those positions if he were to ultimately leave. Like I said, I'm not at all wanting and preferring JT Thor to leave. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think Auburn is going to be built to be able to handle that if he were to decide to come out.
Okay. Also, two other people I'm interested, if you know any additional, because I haven't found anything lately on them, any status update on Mr. Scooter Henderson or Ty Washington?
No update still. A lot of people think that Ty Washington has definitely picked up a lot of interest from Auburn, and that Auburn is squarely in the mix. But no other updates as far as the reclassification of Henderson or the commitment of Ty Washington.
Now, this to me is more critical of the kind of question, because I've been reading some stuff, and people are ambiguous about this, and that is, do these transfer portal people like Mr. Kessler, do they get to play this year? Because I read where the NCAA committee has yet to make a finalization, vote on that. What's status on that? Do you know, Ryan?
I had not heard about that. I assumed that they were all immediately eligible. I thought the only question was certain conferences still had some rules where if you transferred within the conference, they wouldn't let you play the next year. For example, I read yesterday the AAC, which contains Houston, Cincinnati, UConn, etc., they just changed their rule to allow players to immediately be able to play within their conference. So if someone transferred from, say, Central Florida to Connecticut, that within the conference, they could now be eligible, as opposed to in the past, they would not be eligible to play the first year. So the individual conferences have some say on that as well. But to my knowledge, none of the major conferences have what the AAC just changed. So I think everyone should be eligible, unless there's a something that I'm just not aware of right now.
Okay, well, if anyone's listening, you guys find out something, because I read just a few days ago, because people were asking about this, or actually last night, that it's not a done deal, that the NCAA apparently did not yet put it to a vote to allow this one-year transfer. And, so if anyone knows for sure, I'd like to hear it.
And I believe you, Steve, for 100%. I think about some national media members like John Rothstein of CBS Sports, who, you know, usually comments on all the big transfers, and he was talking about, because Alabama landed a transfer from Furman the other day, and obviously Auburn getting Walker Kessler, he was talking about how both teams have very high ceilings for next year, kind of implying that all those players would be able to play right away. So, I mean, I think everyone is kind of under the assumption they will be eligible. So not to say that something drastic couldn't change, but I think as of right now, everyone is operating under the assumption they will be allowed to play immediately.
Okay, well, I hope that's correct. Real quickly, I just saw this on the internet, that the five-star guard for Kansas has gone to the transfer portal, Mr. Bryce Thompson.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, he just announced it this afternoon. So
Transfer portal will continue to yield activity, I'm sure, throughout the whole spring and into the summer.
And yet, my skepticism continues to abound when it comes to Alabama. I've not read any transfers being announced from Alabama's basketball team. Have you guys?
Yeah, no, I've not. Some of them were seniors that I guess are trying to decide whether they even want to continue playing basketball, if they want to try and have a pro career overseas, or if they have a scholarship still available to them in Alabama, since Alabama is bringing in several recruits and is now bringing in a couple transfers. So I don't know where all those scholarships would come from. So I'm assuming that people like John Petty would be gone. Herb Jones will probably get drafted in the second round. So I don't think that some of those guys are returning. It's just that they're not necessarily going the transfer portal route. So, and also it's important to remember these teams that played in March Madness and went a little deeper in the tournament, those guys' timelines for deciding are a little further pushed back. Teams that got eliminated really early in the tournament or didn't go to the tournament, you know, those guys already had more time on their hands to think about what they want to do, or maybe the situation was not as good. So it doesn't mean nothing. No one will transfer away from Alabama, but just right now, everyone's still making their decision, making processes.
And, Mr. Lavoie, speaking of Alabama, which I don't like to do very often. But Mr. Alabama Anthony yesterday continues to make me laugh because apparently, you know, the song by Ray Charles, "Georgia on My Mind," for Mr. Anthony must be Auburn on his mind because he attempted to spin somehow that Mr. Pegues probably should be looking to transfer and play somewhere else. And I think that's what he ended up saying yesterday. And I'm thinking, why? You know, just because Jay Tate says maybe he didn't sound that convincing, he wanted to. I know there are a number of Auburn outstanding players who, when first committed to Auburn, they played a position or they were going to play a position that later on they ended up changing. He actually played better in the position that they changed over to, right?
Well, I mean, there's somebody sitting in our studio right now that came to Auburn as one position changed to another.
Exactly.
And had
Mr.
an NFL
Travon
career.
Reed.
So, I don't. I thought I read that Coach Harsin had talked to J.J. Pegues' family about the matter, about changing him over to defensive line. And look, you know, the kid has got to be willing to do it. But, I mean, it doesn't mean you're not good at one position. It doesn't mean that, you know, he can't be really good at the other position because, you know, beyond Travon, obviously, we had another receiver turn DB in Noah Igbinoghene a couple of years ago that turned out to be a back-of-the-first-round pick. So
Rudy Ford.
So, exactly.
So Rudy Ford from running back to safety. So, you know, oftentimes this works out for a kid career, at least in recent history here at Auburn. So I don't buy that just because you're changing side of the ball, you should immediately back out and go somewhere else.
And to be honest,
yeah,
he probably would have had to do it in the NFL because most NFL teams aren't going to draft a guy that's 6'2", 300 pounds or whatever to be a tight end. So he would have probably had to change positions regardless once he enters the NFL. So by doing it right now, you're probably extending his career as well, and he's got the perfect frame for a defensive tackle. So I think it's a great move for Auburn.
And, Javon, you were on the show, obviously, yesterday. You know, I thought that was a bit of a stretch of an interpretation or conclusion for J.G. Tate, and I respect his comments, but for him to have made the observation that somehow Pegues' comments weren't very, I guess, encouraging or strong about his changing to a position. Remember he said that?
I do remember that, yeah, Steve.
So I don't know, you know, why make that kind of a comment anyway? I mean, he may have had a day that, you know, he was thinking about something else. I don't know, but that to me I thought was a stretch of interpretation. All right, so real quickly, guys, I want to bring this up to you since some of you guys like golf. I'm not a golfer, but did you see about Gary Player's son has been banned from the Masters?
Oh, no, I did not see that.
Yeah, well, he did again, apparently. This guy must be pretty mature. You know, he has two sons. Well, this son apparently went to some shenanigans. His son, was it Lee? No, I'm sorry, what is it? Wayne. Yeah, Wayne Player. Apparently, he decided to do some marketing for the golf ball that his dad uses.
Uh-huh.
And showed a sleeve with the golf company's name on it, and that apparently didn't sit well with the Masters People Committee. So he has been banned, and also by the Augusta National. And then, and I saw a photograph here, his brother said that he should have been banned. In fact, he said that he was rightly and correctly banned for doing what he did. But you weren't aware of that, right?
Yeah, no, I was not aware of that. I was expecting maybe something even more crazy than that. That's, I understand why he's getting kicked out, but that's, you know, just, I guess, false marketing or, you know, too much marketing, I guess. But, okay, I did not know.
Yeah, his brother, Mark Player, said that he was correctly banned from Augusta and National and the Masters. So I didn't know if you guys knew about that. All right, and then, guys, did you know about the recent NCAA decision to where is it at here? They have decided to not allow any championship games played in states in which transgender people are excluded. Did you see that?
No, we did not.
Okay, that I just came across this morning. So I thought that was, I don't know how many states that may or may not impact. I just wanted to bring that to your attention as well. And having said all that, guys, the Olympics they're still on for July, I believe.
Yes, as of right now.
And I read that apparently they're not going to require the athletes to be vaccinated, but it will be encouraged. So I thought that was interesting because they're not allowing any outside of Japan, any outside spectators to attend.
Right.
And speaking of that, go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say, I think the reason for that, my speculation would be, is that not every country has the same access to the vaccine. So while in America it's very reasonable to assume everyone could be vaccinated by July, in other smaller countries or poorer countries or any just countries that may be scheduled to get a different supplier of the vaccine and that vaccine didn't come out, then they might not have the distribution to have the access to it. So I think that's probably the reasoning there, because there might be some certain countries that would not be able to participate at all if that were the case.
Right. And I also heard Jay Tate feeling pretty confident. I think that we will be able to attend football games, especially at full capacity. I'd like to see that. I'm skeptical of that until we get a high percentage of people who decide to, you know, get vaccinated. Because right now, I think we're only at 15 or 16% vaccinated in the entire state. And so I hope people will continue to get themselves vaccinated so we can go back to some degree of semblance of normalcy for attending sports, both, you know, outside and inside venues. So I hope people will say, yeah, you know, we want some degree of normalcy to go ahead and get vaccinated and continue wearing masks as long as, you know, we need to. And having said all that, guys, will you guys be attending the A-Day practice or A-Day game Saturday?
I have to work. I think Javon
has to work
as well.
I do too.
And Travon has to work as well. So yeah. Oh, I know why Travon's going to work. So yeah. No. We're all having to do other things.
Oh, okay. And Mr. Javon Cutler, I hope you enjoyed your show that you were supposed to watch last night, the Cheer Girls.
Oh, Cheer Girls. I'll be honest. I did not watch it, but Bill Bailey, he's sort of a magician, because I know he mentioned something about high school track and a personal time best of 5:35, and I was joking with him after the show. I was like, can you read my mind or something? Because I kid you not, like, I ran track in high school, and I did the 1,600 meters, and my personal best was a 5 minutes 35 seconds. So I don't know how Bill pulls this information, but he was actually spot-on accurate with that information at the end of the show yesterday.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Bill maybe needs to start his own radio show, you know, called the Bill Bailey Show, and of the humor that he. And of course, I guess I think Mr. Tom Peavy was going to be watching the storied my show on or documentary on Vanderbilt's outstanding bowling team. Is that right?
I think that was right. Yeah, because Tom was talking about bowling, and Tom is a guy that loves fishing and bowling and these types of sports. So that sounds about right from yesterday.
Yeah, and then of course. The additional show to be watched by, I know Mr. J.J. is not here, but I think it would be Chad, wouldn't it?
I think it was Chad, yeah. That sounds about right.
And, I think he called him a laundry list of names. I think it was a brown noser, buck sucker. He went to the laundry list. And then he called him the Beth Moen of Auburn. Is that right?
Yes, he did mention that, and J.J.'s unfortunately been called out a lot as far as like a Beth Moen's type of voice. So Bill's called him that before a bunch of times too. So JJ just knows kind of how to, I guess, to roll with the punches and just take it for the team, I guess is the best way to describe it. But he realizes that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just have some fun. His humor is unabashedly. Oh, so I'm hoping you guys can do some research on Bill Bailey. Maybe come back with some notable, you know, commentary on his act. All right. Well, thank you guys for letting me rant and ramble here. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. My time is up. I thank you for your time always. Where are you guys?
Appreciate the phone call, Steve, there. That was retired Ward AM Steve on our Auburn Bank phone line. Just a couple minutes left in the hour, so we'll stay right here as all of our sports call callers and guests join us on the Auburn Bank phone line. Auburn Bank has been your hometown bank for over 110 years. Visit them online at auburnbank.com for more information. Your partner, your neighbor, your friend, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Auburn Bank is our proud sponsor of the sports call phone line. I did want to bring up, since we've only got about 2.5 minutes here left in the first hour, this projected Auburn depth chart real quickly, because we went over it a little bit with Steve as he brought up if JT Thor was coming back. But right now, let's say that Zepp Jasper starts over Wendell Green at point guard. They move Allen Flanagan to two. Let's say JT Thor does come back. He's small forward. Jabari Smith, power forward, Walker Kessler, center. Obviously, that's an incredibly huge lineup. That's a lot of size there. It's much bigger than Auburn is accustomed to going. Allen Flanagan, more of a small forward. JT Thor, more of a stretch power forward. So that would be a huge lineup. You'd still have, if JT Thor is here, Jalen Williams, Chris Moore, Dylan Cardwell, and Babatunde Akinbola as some of your options off the bench for those 3 through 5 positions. Wendell Green, transfer from Eastern Kentucky, would be your only backup point guard, and then Trey Alexander would be your backup shooting guard, although if they're really impressed with Alexander, he might get a chance to start at shooting guard as a freshman. But the clear hole here, guys, is a lack of depth and a lack maybe even of quality of the backcourt. So I think that if Auburn needs one more thing this offseason, they need to get a legitimate transfer portal guy. And I know they've gotten a couple, and we'll see how Zepp Jasper and Wendell Green are at point guard. But a legitimate shooter, a legitimate shooting guard in this transfer portal.
Like me. Like me. Shoot like that's going to give you at least 5 threes a game.
5 threes, wow.
I'm going to shoot 10.
All right, Steph.
All right.
I'm something like him. I'm the great value version, especially at Frank Brown.
But seriously, how much does it hurt right now? Well, I know we can't dwell on the past. Everyone's transferring out of a bunch of different schools. But like this roster, if it had Justin Powell, I think everyone would be losing their minds. I mean, this team is on track to be really good next year with what they're bringing in so far. But I'm just saying, if Justin Powell was on the team, I think everyone would just be through the roof right now.
Absolutely. I mean, no, he was absolutely a stud during his brief time here as a freshman, and we all knew that he was a heralded prospect coming out of Kentucky, but the concussion happened, and he never got back on the playing court, and that probably influenced his decision as to why to leave Auburn and go to Tennessee, perhaps for more playing time. But a guy who I think might fit the shooting guard role, and I'm going to be a little bit biased here, I'm a part-time Florida Gator fan, is Noah Locke. He's a guy who entered the transfer portal, and he's a shooting guard. A little undersized, though. He's about 6'3", 6'4". But he's a guy that is capable of knocking down shots and is able to kind of get his own shot as well. He's had to do that a couple of times whenever Trey Mann was out of the game. So a guy possibly would be Noah Locke. And actually, I just Googled his name and saw the news. Let me recant that statement that he went to Louisville. So yes. Let me change that thought real quick. Auburn, try to get some help at the shooting guard position now. I'm out of ideas.
get Noah Locke. Get his brother.
His twin brother.
Noah Locke would have been perfect. I know North Carolina was trying to get him as well. But yes, as Javon just said, he did decide on Louisville. But Auburn in need of someone like Noah Locke
exactly.
That can score and shoot from the perimeter. If they get that, I think a huge ceiling on this Auburn team for 2021-2022. When we come back, this is the end of hour number one. When we come back, a nightly TV guide, some closing comments. The show's almost over. We get out of here at 4:15. We'll be back for hour number two in just a moment.
One hour of our show is in the books. We've got more to come. Stay tuned for another hour of Sports Call right after the break.
Did you miss any of today's show or want to listen to a segment or interview again? Check out the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi anytime, on demand, wherever you get your podcast. From Apple Music to Google Play to Spotify, our podcast is everywhere. Enjoy an ice-cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk. Thank you for always listening to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.
Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call.
It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Hour number two of Sports Call is a baby hour number two. Just a few minutes left in the program today. At 4:15, which is in about 9 minutes, we are getting off the air. Auburn softball will be coming on at 4:45. As they take on Alabama State, you will hear J.J. Jackson on the Auburn Sports Network, which is why I, Ryan Lavoie, Javon Cutler, and Trevon Reed are with you today, and no J.J. today. You'll hear him in under an hour here on this very station, Tiger 95.9, but just a few minutes left today. And so we'll talk a little bit more about this A-Day game coming up on Saturday. We'll be talking about it all week. We'll have another shortened show tomorrow as another Auburn softball game will be taking place. And we'll have another shortened show on Friday as another Auburn softball game will be taking place. It's that time of year where softball and baseball are going at it four or five times a week. And so we'll have some more shortened shows this week. But we want to make sure we talk a lot about A-Day. Is it something a lot of people have been looking forward to? I said I've been looking forward to it more than normal as the Brian Harsin era doesn't officially start, but the precursor to it officially will have arrived. And so, guys, as we turn our attention towards Saturday, is what are you guys looking for? Like, is there a particular player you want to see? Is there a particular concept on offense or defense that you want to see? What are you guys looking for?
I'd say for me, the simple answer is Bo Nix, because he's facing a new offense now. He's used to the spread offense, the Gus Malzahn offense, but now he's transitioning over to a Mike Bobo pro-style offense. So we know that Bo Nix has all the talent in the world as a guy that came in as a heralded prospect out of Pinson Valley, Alabama. He's a guy for sure that has had glimpses of greatness here at Auburn. I mean, his first game against Oregon, he led Auburn to a comeback win, throwing that touchdown to Seth Williams. So Nix has the talent and he has the arm strength and athleticism to get it done. Just sometimes it's been a bit inconsistent at times, and sometimes it's partly been because of the offensive line and he's had to scramble around and kind of throw the play aside and just try to make something out of nothing. So that's kind of hurt Nix at times. But for Bo Nix, I'd just like to see him be a little bit more consistent this year, and I think he'll have a great opportunity to showcase that at this A-Day and hopefully throughout the rest of the upcoming season. But I think Nix for sure is poised for what should be a breakout year now this is his third year.
Let's get one more phone call in today here on the Auburn Bank phone line. As we said, going off air at 4:15, so just in about 6 or 7 minutes. But let's get one more phone call on the Auburn Bank phone line. Anthony from Auburn joins us now. Anthony, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And you guys?
Doing well.
You know, I saw in the news where a North Carolina basketball player got in that portal or whatever and transferred on into Auburn. That's what he plans on doing. But, you know, I can't see the rationale behind that, leaving a school that is known for being a basketball school that can get in the big game, Final Four and Elite Eight and all those kind of things, and win those national titles and be so celebrated with people like Michael Jordan and James Worthy and a whole other list of people, to leave a school like that and come into a football school or football conference and play with a school that's pretty much all the players are transferred out. There's a possibility of some kind of NCAA sanctions coming down at some point. I mean, to jeopardize your career like that, I don't understand that. You?
So Walker Kessler is from the state of Georgia, so this is one of the reasons he cited in leaving North Carolina, is that he's going to be a lot closer to home now. And also, Anthony, I don't know if you're aware, I say this probably two times a day, but I understand if you've not heard this. I am a North Carolina fan, and I can tell you one of the reasons that he wanted to leave North Carolina was he's not very happy the way he was being used there. He wants to have more of an outside game. He wants to be more of a stretch big man. In North Carolina, it's not how they operate. And obviously with Bruce Pearl, he allows everyone on the floor to shoot jump shots if they like to. So I think he's excited about the style of play that Auburn's going to participate in. The NCAA thing is totally fair, and I'm still worried about that. But at the end of the day, I think he's really attracted to being closer to home. He knows Auburn has had some recent success, and the style of play is really important to him as well.
But, you know, why not sit down and talk with a new coach? I mean, they just hired a new coach about 3 or 4 days ago. Why not sit down and talk to him and see what kind of plans he might have? He might not follow the same thing that the other coaches in the past have done. He might have had a different plan or outline or something he had for him that he had in mind for him to do, but I wanted him to sit down and do it in that. I mean, he can come down here and fool around with Bruce Pearl if he wanted, but you never know what the NCAA might do. And what if the Auburn goes on probation? What the kid going to do then? Transfer out and go somewhere else? I mean, you know.
I mean, I expect him to play for Auburn. And look, he did talk to Hubert Davis, the new head coach at North Carolina. Hubert Davis mentioned in his introductory press conference that he wanted Walker Kessler to stay. So they had those conversations, but Walker Kessler still opted for Auburn. So, I mean, look, everybody has the right to make their own decision.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I don't know. I think that probation So, okay, let's say Auburn goes on probation. There's no tournament, none of that kind of stuff you can be eligible for, not even the conference tournament. So then you just come down here and play a year, and I don't know what kind of plans he has as far as leaving early, go to the NBA, or how much eligibility the kid has left. But, you know, I don't know if I want to take a chance fooling around down here with that looming, you know, because I don't know. It could get ugly, and he could get on a team that not win many games if they get probation and then the rest of the people leave. I mean, I just think you've just putting your hand in the wrong kind of cookie jar fooling around Bruce Pearl at this point.
And sure, Anthony, you're entitled to that opinion, but in the opinion of Walker Kessler, you know, I think he's not too worried about the probation. Auburn has already self-imposed a full year ban where they did not compete in the SEC or NCAA tournament this past year with the expectation that that will be enough so that they don't have to do any more of it. So, I don't know what the chances are Auburn has another one of those years, but I wouldn't think they're incredibly high. They've already served a year, which is a year more than say, LSU has, which was caught on tape for penalties that were very similar, if not worse. So I just don't think Walker Kessler's too worried about that.
Well, I hadn't seen this kid play. I don't know anything about him, to be honest with you. I mean, what kind of player is he? I mean, is he a player that could be a top NBA pick in the first round or those lottery picks they always hollering and crying about? Next year,
it's always tough to tell you about big men because the big men are getting less and less valued in the NBA. But what I will say is he's 7'1". He's a monster. He had a very good rebound and block rate, as Steve brought up earlier in the show. He didn't play a whole lot at Carolina because they had a senior in Garrison Brooks. They had a freshman in De'Ron Sharp who's going to be in the first round of this year's NBA draft, and also Armando Bacot, who was all ACC. So he didn't get enough playing time to really show everything that he had, but he's athletic for his size. He does rebound block shots well. And like I said, North Carolina did not allow him to shoot from the perimeter, but he believes that he can do that.
So this could be a coming out year for him coming up if he get out here with Pearl and Pearl can get him going and everything. And, you know, I think Alabama just grabbed a big 7-footer too. So that could be a nice showdown in Auburn, Alabama, Iron Bowl of basketball. When that time roll around. So who knows? It may work out. It might not. But it's just something to think about, though. But I appreciate it, and I'll be talking to you guys later on.
Sounds good, Anthony. We appreciate the phone call. As always, just a minute or two left in the show now, so let's get you to this.
Our show is about to end, but we've got you covered on entertainment for the evening. Here's Sports Call's Nightly TV Guide.
The Nightly TV Guide brought to you by Coke. Javon, what's on it tonight?
Got a lot of sporting events on tonight for April 13th. If you want to watch some MLS soccer, we've got the CONCACAF Champions League. Atlanta United faces off against LD Alajuelense. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. It sounds right. I mean,
sounds good to me.
Sounds good enough. I should know better. I did take Spanish in high school and a little bit in college, but close enough. 5 p.m. FS1 is the start for that game, so not too long from now, about 45 minutes or so, you can watch some Atlanta United action. They're starting off season pretty good. I mean, got a 1-0 victory over the same exact team. So they're entering the second leg of this one, of the aggregate. So we'll see what Atlanta United could do. 5 p.m. FS1 is the time for that one. If you want to watch a movie tonight, we've got 51st Date at 5 p.m. on MTV. It's a classic Adam Sandler movie, right?
And Drew Barrymore, yes.
That's right, yep. So 51st Dates, 5 p.m. MTV. And keeping it here on the Plains, we've got a couple of ball and stick sports going on. College baseball, Auburn at Georgia Tech, 5 p.m. on the ACC Network as your Auburn Tigers look to get back to their winning ways, traveling up to Georgia Tech. College softball, Alabama State at Auburn, 5 p.m. on SEC Network Plus. Huge game for Auburn softball as well. They've got a good momentum streak going, taking 2 out of 3 from Texas A&M this past weekend. And NHL action, last but not least, Philadelphia at Washington, 6 p.m. on NBC Sports Network. So the Flyers at the Capitals, a nice little mid-Atlantic rivalry right there. 6 p.m. NBC Sports Network. And that concludes the Nightly TV Guide, brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Thank you for that, Javon. So that will could do it for today's show. As we said, it was a short show. Auburn softball coming up 4:45 against Alabama State. First pitch at 5 at Jane B. Moore Field. Also Auburn baseball on our sister station, FM Talk 93.9. Also at 5 o'clock against Georgia Tech in Atlanta. We enjoyed the show today. We will once again be back tomorrow. J.J. Jackson will be calling more softball tomorrow. So a combination of us will be here tomorrow with you for another shortened edition of Sports Call. We thank all those who called in and tuned in today. For my partners, Javon Reed and Javon Cutler, I'm Ryan Lavoy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. We hope you enjoyed Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.